Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now. This episode of Earn Your Leisure is brought to you by First Republic Bank. The world is changing and your needs are evolving as your focus turns to what matters most to you and your community. First Republic remains committed to offering personalized financial solutions that fit your daily needs. From day one, you'll be connected with a dedicated banker who will serve as your primary point of contact throughout your relationship with the bank. They'll be there to listen to you, understand your values, and meet you on your financial journey. Your banker can offer solutions that support your goals at any stage, from setting up a personal checking account, to refinancing household debt, to buying a first home. As your needs evolve, you can call or email your banker at any time for support you need, because First Republic believes that what matters to you matters most. Learn more at firstrepublic.com. That's firstrepublic.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What's up, y'all? It's the fourth quarter. It's a new month. And what better way to start it than to come and to join us at EYL University?
Yes, the fourth quarter is where star players make a name for themselves. So come and join the number one roster. EYL University is the biggest platform for business in the universe. We have over 70 past classes, weekly classes. We have a private investment group on Facebook, which gives you access to our movie club, our book club. We also have bi-weekly real estate calls with MG, the mortgage guy, and monthly financial advising calls with none other than yours truly. So head over to EYLUniversity.com right now and enter promo code EYL for 40% off of our annual membership.
That's right. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over. We'll see you on the other side.
Let's do it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
You're an entrepreneur. You do a lot of different things. But one of the things that you do is you're an author.
Yes.
And you wrote seven books?
Seven books.
Yeah. All right. So can we talk about that? We haven't covered the book industry yet. So what is the process of writing a book? Like, as far as from the, like, do you, like, yeah, can you just walk me through that? Do you have a ghostwriter? Do you, you actually sit down with a
pen? Yeah. So I'm going to tell you. So when I wrote my first book 10 years ago, it took me about eight, nine months to put the book out. Because I had a BlackBerry at the time. I literally would like sit in my car and like write the book on my BlackBerry. Now, fast forward, I could dump out a book in 2 months, maybe less than that, because technology is the great equalizer for everything. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the way that you write a book is, and this is what I would suggest to anybody, is to start with the end in mind. So before you even write a first chapter or anything, understand what is it that you want people to get out of this book. And now I need you to say, this is the end. This is what I want people to get. And then now work your way backwards, right? So if I want people to get the financial lessons that Jay-Z taught in 444, that's the main thing. So when people are finished, they're going to understand how to build generational wealth. And so how do I do that? So now I go backwards and I outline. I say, all right, so I'm going to go from self-sufficiency to cooperative economics to generational wealth, right? And I'm gonna break down each of those into chapters. Now that I've broken that down into chapters, I'm gonna go to each chapter and I'm gonna bullet point everything and say, these are the main things I wanna talk about in each different chapter and literally dictate the rest.
Now, did you go to formal school for that? You studied literature? Nah. Or this is just all given?
All self-taught. So here's what I realized, and this is a great message as to, you don't necessarily have to listen to people because they've done it or because they have a master's or whatever the case may be. Do what works for your audience, right? Yeah. And what I realized was when I wrote my first book and then I started, that one did pretty well. And then I wrote my second book, which is What the FICO, 12 Steps to Repairing Your Credit. I realized that people liked that book because I wrote the way I talked. Mm. And my audience didn't care about syntax. They didn't care about, and I don't want to say proper, because at the end of the day, my goal was to get the message out to the people that I needed to get the message. And so what I decided to do was if people are resonating with my writing because they like it, I write the way I talk, then that's why I started to dictate books. After I dictate the book, I do send it to an editor, right? Because I'm,
So with dictate, what is that? What's that mean?
So like literally, I pull my iPhone out.
And just record.
MV88. And I literally, so now I got this outline, right? I have this outline. I know each of the chapters. So chapter one, don't spend money on a V12 engine. And so now, right? And so now I'm literally speaking into my phone as if I was teaching it, right? Yeah. And so as a public speaker, if you tell me right now I need you to talk about a topic, I could get on my feet and talk about the topic. And so literally, I would just talk into the microphone and dictate what I want people to learn from that chapter. Yeah. The great thing about technology is because you have not apps, but you have services like Fiverr, right? You go to Fiverr and get somebody to translate, right? To transcribe what you just said into the written form. And so now you go to Fiverr, they transcribe it for you. Now you have a whole 10 pages that you just dictated in 20 minutes. Literally, in 20 minutes.
What's the cost for that?
Maybe $100, maybe $200. You know what I'm saying? It depends on how, you know, how much time, right? Yeah. And so, you know, you get them to transcribe it for you, and then that way now you have this book written all raw form of how you talk. Yeah. You go through it first though, right? You go through it, you make sure it reads right. You know, you may have to do some research. Like, so for me, I had to research certain stories, right? So if I'm talking about, you know, owning your rights and Prince, I had to learn, I had to talk about Prince's story and, you know, he didn't have a will and, you know, what he wanted to do with his things. And I needed to add those things. So those pieces you add later, like the research and all that stuff you add later, but the main topic, your knowledge, what you want people to learn, you dictate that, you go through the book. And literally, I think you could write and publish a book 2 to 3 months tops.
And that's been the process from the second book on, or
no? So I started this process. So I'm at 7 books. Book 4 to 7, I've dictated.
So all right. So that's how you actually write the book.
Yeah.
Now the next step of actually publishing a book, mm-hmm. getting it out there. What's that?
Yeah, so publishing the book is literally going through Amazon, right? And so, you know, Amazon used to have a company called CreateSpace, but they all kind of merged it now into their Kindle. So if you go to Amazon.kdp.com, so it's like Kindle Direct Publishing is the name of the company. You would go, so I use Fiverr again, right? Mm-hmm. So I get a book cover done. So
can you explain what Fiverr is? I just heard that company, but can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. So Fiverr is a marketplace for any service that you need, graphic designers, anything you need.
Even, like freelance?
Yeah, freelance people, right? And so the great thing about Fiverr is that Fiverr has freelancers from all over the world. And so in someone in Indonesia who is a graphic designer is not going to charge you $1,000 for a book cover. Mm-hmm. They're literally going to charge you $10 to $15 or $20 or $30. Something that we look at, oh, this is nothing. But for them, their cost of living is so low. So that's a lot of money for them, yeah. Right? And so I use Fiverr to create, I use a graphic designer on Fiverr. I literally never paid more than $50 for a book cover after I use Fiverr. And my book covers, if you go to Amazon right now, you look at all of my book covers, they all look professional, they're all done, you know, with top quality, but I'm paying $50 for that.
Yeah.
You also can go to Fiverr, right? So once you you finish writing the book, you get somebody to edit the book for you, there's a layout design, right? So when you look at the book has to be laid out somehow. I use Fiverr for that as well. I go to Fiverr. Wait, hold on. Let me stop giving them plugs.
Cut the check, Fiverr.
So you can go to any, but you know, like you could literally, get somebody to design the inside of the book for you as well.
Yeah.
And that's how you get the professional look, right? And so once you have your cover file, you have your inside file, you then upload that to Kindle Direct Publishing. And there's a couple of things that happens with that, right? Number one, once you upload it, you write, you put your title in, you put the subtitle, you put your name, your bio, you put all that stuff in, and that's how it's going to be populated into Amazon.com and ready for sale.
All right, guys. So a lot of people ask us, how do they make a podcast? So I'm going to let you know a secret. On the easiest, most productive way to start a podcast and get it up and running, and that is the app called Anchor. It's free. They have all kind of cool creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. They will distribute your podcast for you to all of the major outlets, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple, easy place. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's do it.
The only sort of caveat to that is that Kindle Direct Publishing will give you an ISBN number, right? And so your ISBN number is your is the book where people search the book. It's your barcode. Mm-hmm. And so if you go through Amazon to get an ISBN number, when you go to Amazon, it's going to show Amazon is going to say you independently published this book, right? Or you can buy your own ISBN number, which is if you go to Bowker's. So Bowker's is the company that offers ISBN numbers, and that's what identifies your book. If you go to Bowker's, and I think the website is myidentifiers.com, you can actually buy your own ISBN number. Why is that important, right? It's important because for me, as a speaker, as somebody who, you know, my books are how I teach the people, but it also is a way, like a resume that lets me in so people could book me for speaking engagements. People book me for media, you know, media opportunities, things of that nature, which give me more visibility to sell more books. For some reason, there's still this negative taboo on self-published authors. And so if I use Amazon to give me my ISBN number, it's going to show that I'm independently published and people are not going to take me as serious. So what I do is I go to Bowker's and I buy my own ISBN number under my own company called One Brick Publishing, right? So all of my books have been distributed under One Brick Publishing. The reason why it's One Brick Publishing and it's not Ash Cash Publishing is because I don't want you to be like, oh, Ash Cash.
The same guy.
He's doing another one.
It always looks better if it's a bigger entity.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. Now people are like, yo, like I literally get people to hit me like, yo, can you connect me with One Brick Publishing? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because it sounds dope. And honestly, yeah. You know, One Brick Publishing is because back in the days, I used to move those bricks. One Brick Publishing was...
One brick at a time.
One brick at a time. So that's where I got it from, actually. I was watching a Will Smith story, and Will Smith was giving his example about how him and his brother got, you know, his pops tore down his wall and told him to rebuild the wall. And they were looking like, yo, how I'm gonna rebuild the wall? They said, yo, build it one brick at a time. And if you make sure that this is the best brick possible, then you'll have a good wall. So I was like, oh, that's a dope story. Then that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna build a publishing company one brick at a time. And so now when you look at my books, they're all published by One Brick. And the reason why that's important, because now when people are looking for somebody, they're looking for experts, they're looking for people, they're gonna see everything, you know, everything's professional. It gives this, you know, illusion that you're signed to a publishing house, and people will take you more serious from that.
Now that's dope. I just want to, earn your leisure, man. We give out a lot of free game, man. Like, yo, honestly, we might have to start charging for this.
It's a little different, man.
It's getting crazy.
So you haven't done an audiobook yet, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, you haven't?
I eat off of books.
So is it the same process? Like, so if you do it through, I'm not going to say the company's name.
Yeah.
Right? You send it to an editor.
Yep.
Now they tell you what you need to say and you do it through the audio.
So the way I do the audios, and that was another thing, right? So I was like, I make a living off of books, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what I realized was, that, you know, and it happened, and I went backwards because when I put out the J book, the 444 book, yo, I had Uber drivers. Like, yo, bro, I need this book, but I'm in my Uber all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And so I kept forgetting about a market of people who either drive, who don't have time.
That's like me.
They cannot pick up a physical book.
Yeah.
And so literally, like, fast shout to GarageBand. Like, I literally recorded my audio books.
Shout out to GarageBand.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally, you know what I'm saying? Like recorded my books on GarageBand. I read the book. So I'm literally, like, reading the book. Once it's done, even if I mess up or whatever the case may be to get everything right, I send it to somebody on that company again.
Yeah.
And you can look for, you know, audio edits or whatever the case may be. They edit it. They even take out the dead air. So like sometimes if it doesn't sound right and there's dead air, they edit it, compress it. I mean, you listen to it.
All freelance, right?
Yeah, all freelance. So, yeah, all these people are freelance.
Okay.
And then there's a company called ACX. It's all owned by Amazon. Amazon run things. So they run things. So ACX, right? AACX.com. If you go to them, now you upload your file, you put the title and all that stuff, and then they distribute the book to Audible.com and iTunes. And so now if you look for my book on audio, you'll see it on Audible, you'll see it on iTunes, and that's how I do audiobooks.
They do it for free?
Yeah. So the thing about Amazon and ACX and all these people, it's print on demand, right? Which means that it's all consignment. So it's not like you don't have to pay anything. They just take a percentage of what's being sold.
Mm. Right? I was going to ask you that because somebody else, shot my man, IMPOP, Steve Pop, Lewis Jr. Yeah. He wrote a book.
And that's my guy too. Yeah.
I spoke to him and he was saying that, like you said, because I was asking him like, what if you have like 1,000 books and they're not selling? He was like, well, they only print the books as you want it.
Right.
Or if you go into a show, you can have like 100 books, but until then, it's ordered. And then when they actually order it, then they'll print it. Can you explain that process?
Yeah, so it's the dopest thing. And that's why I think, and it's two different business models, right? I'm not of the thinking that one is better than the other. Do what works for you, right? Because we all know Eric Thomas, the hip-hop preacher. When he came out with his book, he did not put it on Amazon, right? He sold them straight out of his garage. He did all of that, right? And, you know, obviously you keep the lion's share. But if you have the capital up front to do that, to buy the books and do all that stuff, then that's fine. Or if you have the... you know, if people are reaching out to you, right, you have the demand, then that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's just starting out, I literally, right, like I can literally put out a book for less than $500, right? Because all I'm telling you is that all I need is the person to do the cover for me. I need an editor and I need somebody to do the design for me. And then now I have the book out. What happens is I set the price, right? So let's say I want to charge $14.99 for my books. I put it out on Amazon for $14.99. And so I don't have to pay anything at all. Every time somebody orders a book, Amazon, they take care of the printing. And so they minus the printing cost. And so, you know, a book like this, you know, is probably cost you about $2.50 to print. And so they take out that $2.50 from that $14.99. Mm-hmm. And then just to have put it on their platform, they might take 20 to 40% of that. Okay. And then you get the difference. And so that's how it works, where you could sell 1,000 books, but you don't ever have to worry about keeping, you know, inventory in your trunk or anything like that. I mean, for me as a speaker, and that's the great thing about it too, is that, you know, when people buy books on Amazon, I get a check from them each month, right, at the end of the month. But when I do speaking engagements, I'm ordering my books from them. And think about it. If I print out this book and it costs me $2.50, I'm selling it to you hand in hand, $10. Mm-hmm. So I'm still making $7.50, and I had to put up I had to put up the $2.50 up front to get it, but I already know, oh, I'm about to go to the speaking engagement, or, you know, I'm about to speak at this school and the school wants X amount of copies. And so it's really a low overhead way to make money by not having to keep a lot of the revenue or inventory in your trunk, you know, in your garage. Because I remember my first book, those books were collecting dust. I was like hyped, you know. I put the money out up front. Yeah, I'm like, let me get 1,000 copies. I'm thinking that they're gonna sell out, and I'm just sitting there looking at these like blowing dust off of them. You know what I'm saying?
We got. I mean, it's pretty similar to us. Like, a lot of times we go places and people ask us like, "Yo, can I get a shirt? Can I get a shirt?" And we're like, well, we really don't carry the shirts, right? We got a company that you order them online. Like, you go to our website, you can get them.
Right.
We don't walk around with inventory, right? Because, like, who wants to be stuck with 500 shirts?
Exactly.
And 10 sales.
Right. You know, and exactly. Putting out that upfront capital and then having to wait or hustle your way to get rid of that inventory, opposed to just saying, you know what? If the demand is there, let me put it out there.
Exactly.
And if the demand is there, it's a win-win for everybody. And that's why I like that business model.
Yeah, that's dope. And all right, so for independent authors, how does that work as far as different? Like, if you sign to a major publication, like Simon Schuster, I think that top, it's like, I think Charlemagne, because Charlemagne, he spoke about that, where he signed to Simon Schuster, and he did the book Black Privilege. Then I think he did another book. And he was saying, he was like, you know what? I should have just did this myself independently.
He would have killed it. He did it himself.
So, like, what's the deal? Like, is it like a record deal? Like, they take
exactly. It's exactly like.
Oh, is it?
It's exactly like a record deal. So pretty much, it's exactly like a record deal. Pretty much, Simon & Schuster says, "Oh, you hot right now? I'm gonna put out this book, and I'm gonna give you points off the book." Right. And so if I sell the book for $10, I'll give you a dollar. Like, and their numbers are like, it's so archaic. Like, their numbers are probably still that. Right. If they sell a book for $10, you probably still only get $1 off of every book you sell, right?
And he has two number one bestsellers.
Exactly. And so what happens is, you know, they definitely gave him an advance because of who he is.
Right.
So what happens is they give him this advance. They say, here's this money up front. And then whatever we sell, you get, you know, like we deduct that from the advance and you'll get royalties forever, right? You'll get a dollar off of every book you sell forever.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets that $9, right? It's Simon & Schuster.
Right.
He's a big enough name that if he self-published the book himself, he would have kept the lion's share of that. And that's why I love being a self-published author, right? Because that's exactly that. When I first wrote my book, I knew that I had direct access to my consumer through Twitter, and then Instagram came, and then Facebook, to the point, and I'm not even done yet. Like, I haven't even hit the height of where I know I'll be. But imagine that, right? The moment where millions of people know that Ash Cash teaches financial education, and people say, wow, he got these books. I want to learn about credit. Where can I go? I want to learn about this. And they go and get all these books. I eat off that forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They go back to it.
But the intellectual property, like you said, too, off camera, is like, that's something that stays in, that's a catalog, like music. Absolutely, so we talk about, like, even when Nipsey, a lot of people just got up on Nipsey last year with his last album, but he had a body of work, mixtapes before that.
Yep.
So when they heard Victory Lap, they were so impressed with it. And it's like, okay, let me go back to Bullets Ain't Got No Names on It and all the other stuff that he did early on.
Yep.
But you already have that music. See, like, even Chris Gotti said that on our interview with him when he was like, once the music is there, it should be there forever.
Absolutely.
Because DMX is still going to make money if somebody buys It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Exactly.
Even though it came out 15 years ago.
It's like, they had Wall Street Journal actually published this article on Slick Rick and how Lottie Dottie is the most sampled song in the history of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And he still makes money off of
it.
But not as much as he could have.
Right.
But he still is. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yo, think about this. And I think, I want to say I wrote it in the 444 book. I talk about Whitney Houston, right? When Bodyguard came out, I Will Always Love You, her biggest record ever.
Right.
Dolly Parton wrote it.
Yeah.
She made the least amount of money from it. Whitney Houston made the least amount of money from it.
Dolly Parton, it's a sample or she wrote
it? It's her song. I think she actually performed it before too.
It's a remake.
A remake of the song, right.
And so she, you know, now Whitney Houston, you know, crossed over. She has this movie with Kevin Costner and all these people are like, oh my God, I Will Always Love You. I think it sold 42 million.
Yeah. The crazy numbers. And she had, I mean, thankfully for her, she had like three other number ones off that soundtrack, but the biggest one was I Will Always Love You.
You know what I'm saying? And so the point is, as the Honorable Sean Carter says, until you own your own, right? Until you own your own, you can't be free. It's about ownership.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you have to believe in yourself, right? And a lot of times people are going to say, yo, you know what? I'm going to take it. I mean, you know, sometimes people will sell their intellectual property because they want to foot in the door. They want to do certain things. But if you believe that your information is gold, if you believe or if somebody else believes and they're willing to pay you for it, sometimes waiting it out, right? Like Master P said, Master P was like, yo, once they offered me $1 million, I realized
I knew I was worth more.
I was worth more. You know what I'm saying? And so because of that, he held out and that's why he made so much money. And so we have to be of that mindset, and that's what, you know, I like to teach, and that's what we're teaching, is ownership is key, because that is your, you know, that's your income, that's your legacy, that's what you could pass down. You can't pass, all right, great, if you get this royalty from another company, they're like, they did not write the book, they did not write the verse. Why are they getting the most of it? Why am I signed to you, right? Yes, if you have the distribution channel, then we should partner. We should make money together.
Mm-hmm.
But why am I only getting 10%? And yeah, you got costs associated with it, but you're still making more than me. And it's my name, my likeness, my information, my music, my whatever. And now you're able to profit the most of it. It doesn't make sense.
Gems. A lot of gems. Yeah, a lot of gems right there.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.